So recently, I was at some friend's house. They were old friends. And my friend had a book. And this book had been written by someone that we mutually knew. So I was interested in it. And I figured I'd open the book. And it didn't take me too long, but I found my name in a book. And now it doesn't, to my knowledge, this is the first time I'd ever been published in a book before. So I was curious as to what my character was like in a book. And to kind of oversimplify it a bit, I would say that I was the bad guy in the book, or the villain. That wasn't funny? I hope that would be funny. That bombed. But seriously, I was kind of presented as the foil or the character in it who was a little bit of the bad guy. Why do I bring that up? Well, one reason is because this is free therapy for me, so I figure if I can tell you all the things that are going on, that I can heal. And the second reason is because it relates to a strange story in the scriptures. And I was reading this. This is, a strange story that we're going to look at today. And in this story, one of the things that troubles me about it is I think the wrong person gets punished. It would be too simple to say one person was the good guy and one person was the bad guy. But to me, I look at this and it's like, why does that one get punished? Why is that one sort of the one who did wrong? It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Until a couple of months ago when I was just reading it in my time with God, and it, strangely enough, something really hit me, and I thought, all right, we're going to try it. So I never thought that I would talk about this passage in a sermon, but it is just so strange that I figure we'll read a lot of it, and it just might be weird enough for you to find it interesting. So we're going to do quite a bit of reading, but before we read it, to set the context, there is a man of God, somebody who's called a man of God, who has set and called to confront a king named Jeroboam. Jeroboam in the scriptures is known as an evil king. He set up idolatry. He did a whole lot of bad. He set a real bad precedent for the northern kingdom of Israel. So this man of God is called by God to confront the wicked king. And he does. And even though his message is really unpopular with the king and he wants to attack him, God protects him. But this man of God is given just a few instructions beside confronting the king with a message of judgment. And it's this. He had to go. He couldn't accept food or water. And he had to, after he delivered his message, he had to go back home a different way than what he came. Those were his instructions. So here we go. let's see. 1 Kings 13, 11 through 26, and again, this is going to take a little while, but the sermon is going to be pretty short after this, so let not your heart be troubled. But again, this is just a strange story. Now, there was a certain old prophet, so this is after the confrontation that the man of God has with the king. There was a certain old prophet living in Bethel, whose sons came and told him all that the man of God had done there that day. They also told their father what he had said to the king. Their father asked them, which way did he go? And his sons showed him which road the man of God from Judah had taken. So he said to his sons, saddle the donkey for me. And when they had saddled the donkey for him, he mounted it and rode after the man of God. He found him sitting under an oak tree and asked, are you the man of God who came from Judah? I am, he replied. So the prophet said to him, come home with me and eat. The man of God said, I cannot turn back and go with you, nor can I eat bread or drink water with you in this place. I have been told by the word of the Lord, you must not eat bread or drink water there, or return by the way you came. The old prophet answered, I too am a prophet as you are. And an angel said to me by the word of the Lord, bring him back with you to your house, so that he may eat bread and drink water. But he was lying to him. So the man of God returned with him and ate and drank in his house. While they were sitting at the table, the word of the Lord came to the old prophet who had brought him back. He cried out to the man of God who had come from Judah, this is what the Lord says. You have defied the word of God of the Lord and have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. you came back and ate bread and drank water in the place where he told you not to eat or drink. Therefore, your body will not be buried in the tomb of your fathers or of your ancestors. When the man of God had finished eating and drinking, the prophet who had brought him back saddled his donkey for him. As he went on his way, a lion met him on the road and killed him. And his body was left lying on the road, and both the donkey and the lion standing by it. Some people who passed by saw the body lying there with the lion standing beside the body, and they went and reported it to the city where the old prophet lived. When the prophet who had brought him back from his journey heard of it, he said, "It is the man of God who defied the word of the Lord. The Lord has given him over to the lion, which has mauled him and killed him, as the word of the Lord had warned him." Do you think this is a weird story? Is it just me? Is it troubling to you? And I guess what I grapple with, why wasn't it the lying prophet who was punished instead of the man of God who believed him? Like, isn't it worse to tell a lie than to believe a lie? I mean, for me, it's way worse, right? You can't really help it if somebody fools you with a lie. But the lying prophet lied, and it was the man of God who got punished just because he was naive enough to believe what a prophet told him. Troubling. Well, the last time that I read this story, a couple months ago, like, I just had this thought, and a scripture came to me. And I was really encouraged last week, because last week Emily preached, did a great job, but that meant that I didn't have to preach, so I was working on writing this sermon. And so I was in this story, and I had a friend who I was talking to, a friend here at church, and we were discussing, I was talking about this story. He immediately stopped him, because I said, "This is weird, it's hard to understand." He immediately stopped me and quoted the verse that I had in mind, too. And this is a verse, it comes from the Apostle Paul. He quoted the same verse that I thought of with this story. And that I thought maybe Paul had this story in mind when he wrote it. It's from the book of Galatians. And just to set the scene, Paul is really distressed because the people of Galatia, he'd been there. Things were going well. The gospel had been established. This new church had started. But then other people started coming in, and they were preaching a different kind of a gospel than he was. And they were saying things like, "God told me," or whatever. So Paul was distressed that people were leaving the teaching that he had given, which he said was the true gospel, and were abandoning it for silly stuff and false gospels. And this was the comment that the Apostle Paul made in Galatians 1:8 that my friend and I both thought of immediately with this story. "But even if we," this is Paul writing, him and his team, "but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse." Even if we or an angel. Do you remember what the lying prophet said? "An angel told me." But he was lying. Why there weren't consequences for him in the story, I don't know. But an angel told him. Another way you could say it is God told me, right? But Paul's saying, don't just believe somebody because they said an angel told me or God told me. Because in the story, believing the lie cost him his life. And I don't think that that's to say that the prophet or the man of God was the bad guy in this, and that the prophet, the lying prophet, was the good guy. I think it's just illustrating one of the sad reality, difficult realities, is that sometimes people get hurt by lies. And it's the people who believe the lies who really get hurt by them. So be careful again who we listen to. Once upon a time, you ready for a story? This is a weird story too. We're just doing weird stories today. Once upon a time, there was a guy who graduated from Butler University. And he had a calling to go into Christian ministry. And this guy had a heart to serve the poor. He was part of a homeless ministry. He also had a heart for racial reconciliation. He was a director of the Indy Human Rights Commission. So he did all this work, and he was even he had all kinds of battles with elders in the church who wanted things segregated. And he said, no, all the races are equal. We got to come together and be united. And he served the poor, which I think all of us here today, several decades later, would agree that's a really good thing. And he's right and has a good heart. Well, this pastor was very charismatic. He had a gift of leadership, and he was very effective, and the congregation kept growing. And he was getting a lot of attention. But in addition to these gifts of bringing about healing with racial reconciliation and serving the poor, doing great work in Indianapolis, he had a couple of other gifts. One of those was he believed that he could see the future, and he believed that he had the gift of healing, miraculous healing. So eventually he saw in the future a nuclear war, a nuclear holocaust, and decided to move him and his congregation out to California. Well, I guess California was not going to get hit and Indianapolis was. I don't know. But so they moved to California, and he wanted to there start going by the prophet. So they called him the prophet, but then there were whispers about this leader. And the whispers were that he was taking some of the money and using it for himself. He was improperly handling finances. As the whispers grew louder, the prophet, the pastor from Indianapolis, who cared about racial reconciliation and serving the poor and the gospel, decided to take his followers out to another country, Guyana. And probably a lot of you who know the story know what happens next. In Guyana, there were 913 people who drank the Kool-Aid with poison in it, and they died. 304 of those people were kids. Now, these are people like you and me, some of them from Indianapolis, like a lot of us, or this area. They had gone to California believing that they'd heard the word of God. An angel had told somebody. And they believed in Jesus and the scriptures and a lot of the same things that probably a lot of us believe in. The scriptures are the word of God and Jesus is the Son of God. And they did this, but they also believed this message of a prophet who said an angel told him. And again, because of that, 913 people, again, including 304 kids, died. Were those kids evil? Were those kids bad? Were the people who followed him bad? Probably not. But they paid the price dearly because they believed a lie. Because of a message of an angel told me, and they believed it. And it ended up costing them their lives. Very sad. Again, it's not fair. But there can be consequences for believing somebody like me even. He just says, God told me, and then just buying into it and believing it. I want to pause here to say the message is not be cynical, doubt everybody. Just make sure you're not naive, so be cynical, you know, and suspicious about everything, and don't trust anybody. That's not the message at all. I think it's less about just distrust and suspicion and being paranoid, and more about discernment. It's more about just recognizing the reality of the world that we live in. Because we need to recognize that not every message and not every messenger has our best interests in mind. Could be the person you're listening to right now. You just don't know. Some people may think so. And that's up to God. And we have to discern it for ourselves of what is it that God wants us to hear. So this may seem really frustrating right now, but I want to turn to something Jesus told his disciples that I think is really good for us to hear. Matthew 10, Jesus said, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. Again, I don't think that's being suspicious, distrustful. I don't think Jesus is saying, to be paranoid and try to find somebody against you. Somebody's always against you. But it's just saying that it takes some wisdom. That we do need to be shrewd, and especially when somebody says, God told me, an angel said to me. Because I know that in my experience as a pastor, every time I've heard a message of God told me, it was usually pretty critical of me, and it sounded an awful lot like the person who was telling me the message. So a lot of times there is an agenda with that, and we just need to be honest about the reality of the world and how things work. We can't be afraid of the truth as people who follow Jesus, who is the way and the truth and the life. Because, unfortunately, we live in a world where wolves dress up in sheep's clothing. Or in the case of Little Red Riding Hood, wolves dress up in grandma's clothing. Or where Satan masquerades as an angel of light. And these disguises can be awfully tricky. They can take in people very easily. So as Jesus said, be on your guard. Just be careful. You are out as sheep among wolves, and there are lots of good people. There are lots of good shepherds, and there are some wolves out there too. Just be aware. It's kind of like, I told my friend in this congregation who was telling me that the same verse that I felt like confirmed it among another guy that I respect who listens to Christ. But I was telling him, you know, that old joke where the guy goes up to the girl and says, you know, God told me we were to get married. And her response is, well, funny, he never told me that. And my friend had one better. I think this may have happened, a story that he knew, but whether it happened or not, he said, there was a woman once who went up to a guy and said, God told me we were going to get married. And he replied to her, that's great. Let me go check with my wife to see if she heard the same thing from God. Oops. Probably not. Sorry, Jenny, there's a Garth Brooks song reference here. There's a song that Garth Brooks sings called Do What You Gotta Do. And he says this in it. Well, there's people that'll tell you it's just no use. There's people that'll tell you that you're gonna lose. People that will tell you anything you're gonna listen to. That is a good observation. There's people that are gonna tell you anything you're gonna listen to. Maybe we're still frustrated here because it's like, who do we, there's so many voices going out there. There's so much confusion. How do we know who to listen to or where? If somebody is a quote-unquote person of God or prophet, how do we know if they're lying or not? How do we know if it's God or a person or us? How do we know? Well, in the Gospel of John, there's this beautiful beginning. And John writes, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. A few verses later, skip down, and he says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That's one of the core convictions that we have as the church of God, the church that follows Jesus, is that the Word became flesh, and he is the Word. He is the Word. And the Word said, when he was teaching, the Word said he is the good shepherd. And he compared the good shepherd with a thief, and he talked about how the thief or a false prophet is someone who comes to steal and kill and destroy, has some motives that you got to be careful and just pay attention. But he says that he came so that we'd have life. The good shepherd came not so that the sheep would sacrifice for him, but so that he could lay his life down for the sheep with best interests in mind. The good shepherd. And Jesus gives us who belong to him some confidence here. And these are words, I think, if we follow Jesus, if we belong to him, if we embrace him, that we can just really rest on and rely on. From John 10, 27 through 28, Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Jesus called people who belong to him as sheep. There's a sense of belonging. The call of Christ comes with this beautiful sense of belonging, this sense of security that we can rely on him, that there's not a middleman that we depend on. He says his sheep will not perish. Even in death, his sheep will not perish. No one can snatch his sheep out of his hand. Again, not even death can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Does something in your soul resonate with Jesus' call to find belonging and life in him? If you have the sense that the voice of God, not just a pastor, a preacher, is speaking to you, calling you to follow Jesus, I want to invite you to pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us so much that you gave your only Son, not to condemn us, but to save us and give us eternal life. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I want my soul to find belonging in you. Fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can listen to your voice and follow you. Amen. One of the great hopes that we have for the church, which again is also called the body of Christ, is that we have a sense of belonging. That we come because we belong to Christ. We come because we belong together. We celebrate that we belong because of Christ and who he is and what he's done for us. So today we're going to participate in an ancient tradition which didn't come from some mere preacher or prophet. It came from God. It started when God set his people free from slavery in Egypt. And it continued on to when Jesus explained that the bread and the cup were pointing to him who came to set us all free from slavery into the freedom of the family of God where we belong. All who receive Christ have the right to become children of God, not because of anything great we have done, but because of who God is, because of what Christ has done. He died for our sins and was buried, but he rose from the dead and was seen by people like John, who saw his glory and passed down the beautiful, life-giving gospel of Jesus Christ. And it keeps getting passed down to us. People like us. Communion, which we'll celebrate in a few moments, is an opportunity that we have to receive Christ and experience the belonging of hearing the Savior say that we can find in him our all in all.
Savior, Savior.